I hope that you never have to be in a place where you see somebody for real dressed up in an outfit like this. This is what is called a hazmat suit. And Robert Forrest, my intern, they get to do all of the dirty work for me. Robert is helping me today. And you know, if you see somebody in a hazmat suit like this, most of the time it's a first responder, like a fireman. And they have responded to a call where there has been a release of some kind of hazardous material, hazmat, into the atmosphere. And so their responsibility is to somehow try to contain that hazardous material and to fight it. But in doing so, they have to be protected. And thus, the hazmat suit. And I want to just give you this image today to hold on to for the weeks to come, because I want this morning to introduce a series of messages that I'm going to begin 2 weeks from today called Hazmat. Some of the most dangerous ideas that we find in our culture today. Hazardous material that is out there in the form of thoughts and ideas and philosophies and worldviews that are lethal and destructive. They can ruin a person's life and potentially even ruin a person's eternity. Now, the hazardous material that is released into an atmosphere, say there is a tanker truck that explodes and the fumes start filling the air, those fumes are invisible. And the hazardous material, these ideas and thoughts and worldviews that we face are invisible, but they're still deadly and destructive. And so it's my job and my desire over the next few weeks to help us suit up, not in a hazmat suit, but in and with the Word of God, so that we can stand against this hazardous material that is out there in our world. And I hope that image stays vivid in your mind. And my purpose in this series of messages is to help you, men and women and students and boys and girls, to prepare to defend yourself against this hazardous material, these ideas and philosophies and worldviews that are floating around out there in our culture today. And not just to stand against them, but to be able to refute them. You know, we're just about a month away from an important election. And whether you know it or not, many of these ideas are going to be hanging in the balance in this upcoming election. And so it's important for us as the people of God to know how to stand on the truth of God's Word so that we can wage war against this hazardous material that is out there in our culture. And Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 when he says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Now, these strongholds are ideas and thoughts and philosophies and worldviews. And that's what it means in verse 5. He says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And so this hazardous material that is out there in our world, these lethal ideas, set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And Paul says, "We take every thought captive, every philosophy, every viewpoint, every worldview, we take captive to make it obedient to Christ." And that's what I want to help us to do starting 2 weeks from today. Now, I want us to just talk about for a moment what are some of these lethal ideas? What are some of these thoughts and worldviews, this hazardous material that is out there swirling around in our culture today that you may or may not be aware of? It's invisible, and therefore it is all the more dangerous when they are released into the atmosphere of our world. Let me give you just a few examples. There's hazardous material found on television in shows like NBC's new series, The New Normal. Maybe you've seen the promotion for that and the trailers for that. The description on the NBC website says, these days, families come in all forms. Single dads, double moms, sperm donors, egg donors, one-night stand donors. It's 2012 and anything goes. Brian and David, two men, are a Los Angeles couple, and they have it all. Well, almost. With successful careers and a committed, loving partnership, there is one thing that this couple is missing: a baby. Now, you can imagine where the show would go from there. And it's apparent and obvious that through television series like this, that there is hazardous material being introduced into the atmosphere of our culture. There's also hazardous material in the scientific and educational community. Some of you have heard of Bill Nye the Science Guy. He's, for many of our young people, he's a popular figure, and people have known about Bill Nye the Science Guy. He's a scientific educator and a PBS television host. Well, he has come out condemning Christian groups who cast doubts on evolution and also condemning lawmakers who want to bring the Bible into science classrooms. And the news report says that Bill Nye, the Science Guy, has waded into the evolution debate with an online video that urges parents not to pass their religious-based doubts about evolution onto their children. Now, that's hazardous material, isn't it? There's hazardous material found in the platform of political parties and political candidates who would place the reproductive rights of women over the basic rights of life for little babies. It's found in the bullying propaganda of organizations like Planned Parenthood, where expectant mothers are told that the child growing within them isn't really a human being, and so you can just dispose of it at will. That's hazardous material. And some of these ideas are just flat-out potent, undiluted godlessness. And they make no claim to have any kind of moral value at all to them. But some of the hazardous material is disguised in popular religious thoughts and teachings and philosophies. Hazardous materials can be found in churches in our land where preachers think that they are wiser than God and tell their listeners that they can't really trust their Bible to be the Word of God, and particularly when it says that Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. That's spiritually hazardous material. And that kind of thinking is particularly hazardous because it can deceive people right into an eternity in hell. It is doubly hazardous. And so over the next few weeks, starting 2 weeks from today, I'm going to address some of these lethal ideas, these deadly destructive ideas that are floating around out there in our culture that you may or may not recognize because you've heard them so often, but you're not aware of just how deadly and destructive they are. Now, what I want to do this morning is I want to show you where it all starts, where it all started. And so turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3. You see, many of these ideas appear to be new, but they're not. They really all go back to the very first hazardous material that was introduced into Earth's atmosphere in the Garden of Eden, where the Lord had placed Adam and Eve. Follow along as I read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Well, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And so from the earliest days of human history, these hazardous ideas have been floating around out there in the atmosphere of culture. And to introduce this series, I want you to just see, first of all, the source of these ideas. The source of these ideas. Now, let me give you a little background first. You see, God created the universe, including the earth, and all that is on the earth, including the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. And he placed them in a perfect garden, in a garden where everything would be provided for them by the Lord, everything that they would need for life and for fulfillment. And then yet God placed in the center of the garden a tree known as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said to them, Adam and Eve, you can eat of any of the trees in the garden, but you must not eat from, nor should you touch, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now this tree and the fruit of it would give Adam and Eve firsthand experience and firsthand personal knowledge of good, but also of evil. And remember, God said that if they ate of that fruit, of that tree, that they would die. Now the question comes, why wouldn't God want them to have this information? You know, you would think that God would want them to know what is good and what is evil. But if you read the text carefully, you see that what God is up to here is that he wants them to have that knowledge, the knowledge of what is good and the knowledge of what is evil, but he wants them to have it from him, by revelation from him, not by their own personal experience of tasting what is good and tasting what is evil. For instance, every parent knows that they want their children to understand that if you put your hand on a flame on top of the stove, it's going to severely burn your hand. Now, we want our children to have that knowledge, don't we? But we do not want them to have that knowledge from personal experience. We want them to have that knowledge because we have given it to them, we have told them what is right and wrong, and they trust us enough to obey us, and that they don't have to stick their hand in the fire to know that it will burn them. And the same thing was true with God. He said, I don't want you to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not because I don't want you to enjoy life, not that I don't want you to know the difference between right and wrong. I want you to know the difference because I tell you what it is, and not because you have to experience it personally. Well, so far, so good. Adam and Eve are doing just great. And in the wonderful garden that God prepared for them to enjoy each other and to enjoy his presence. And we come to chapter 3 in verse 1. And it says that the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now Satan comes into the garden and he's clothed and cloaked as a snake. You know, Revelation 12, this is in the first book of the Bible we're studying today. In the last book of the Bible, Satan is still around and still very powerful. And Revelation 12, 9 says about him that he calls him the great dragon, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. You understand that that is his intention, that is his desire to introduce hazardous material, deadly, lethal ideas and thoughts and philosophies and worldviews into the culture of human beings to lead them astray. And he's still doing that. And it says that the serpent was more subtle than any of the other animals. You know, snakes are that way. I hate snakes. I tell people all the time that I got in on the woman's curse. You know, in the Old Testament, when after Eve sinned, the Lord said that, you know, I'm going to put enmity between she and thee, speaking of the serpent. And I got in on that enmity. I hate snakes. They're all deadly. All of them. Those that won't hurt you will make you hurt yourself, is my contention. And so they're that way. They're subtle. They slither around and they sneak up on their prey. They blend into their surroundings so as to disguise themselves. That's the stealth of Satan. And so Satan cloaks himself in the body of a snake and introduces the very first hazardous ideas in the Garden of Eden. And even to this day, Satan continues to do that. He continues to introduce these lethal, deadly, destructive ideas and philosophies, and it will be that way to this day and to the very end of the age. Now, the reason I know that is because that's what Scripture says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says to his young preacher friend Timothy, verse 1 and 2, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. There you have this hazardous material, these lethal ideas taught by demons. Now, demons have mouthpieces. They have spokesmen. And in verse 2, it says, such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So the Spirit of God is saying that in our day and increasingly as we approach the end of time and the coming of Christ, that we're going to have to deal with this kind of hazmat. The people who call themselves Christians are going to be led astray. And they're going to abandon the faith, and they're going to follow the teachings that are in reality demonic, and they're deceptive and destructive. And notice that these things are teachings that come from liars who were inspired by the great liar, Satan himself. These are deceiving spirits, demonic spirits that worm their way into the teachings and the philosophies and the thoughts of a culture, and sometimes even into the church through false teachers. You see, Satan's mission has always been to keep people from God, to keep people separated from God. And one of the ways he does that is by introducing these ideas and thoughts and philosophies and worldviews that keep people from trusting God and trusting his wisdom, trusting his word to be true. You notice that these teachers he talks about here are hypocritical liars. Some of these ideas and philosophies come from religious people, and they know full well that they're distorting the truth. And yet it says that their consciences are so seared that it doesn't bother them to spew this kind of hazmat into the culture. And there are millions of people in our world today who have bought into these lies, and they are lethal and destructive. Now, what is the antidote to this? The antidote to this hazardous material is the teaching of the truth that is found in God's Word. And that's why Paul would go on to say to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6, he said, if you point out these things to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. So that's what I'm trying to do for us in this series of messages over the weeks to come. Because there's such a thing as truth. And truth, by its very nature, is exclusive. And truth, by its very nature, is intolerant. It is intolerant of any error that would oppose it. And so the truth is our standard, and the truth then becomes the means by which we fight hazmat, hazardous materials. And so that is the source. The source of these ideas none other than Satan himself. But let's talk for a moment about the substance of these ideas. There are three things at the heart of these ideas, and we see them here in Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to notice, first of all, that they include doubts about the truth of God. Doubts about the truth of God. And as you think about all of the different philosophies and the godless ideas that are floating around in our culture today, in some way they're all doubting the truth of God. In verse 1 it says that the serpent said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Well, of course, Eve understood this and knew that God didn't say that. That he said they could eat of any tree in the garden except one. They had freedom to eat of all of them, but one. And Eve recognized that, but you notice there the question, did God really say that? And those are the doubts that our enemy wants to insert and release into our culture. This hazardous material would cause us to doubt the very word of God. And as we read the Bible, Satan will tempt us with ideas. And maybe you've experienced this already. You're having your quiet time someday and you're reading a passage of Scripture and you come across one of those passages that just doesn't make sense from a human perspective. Why would God say that? Why would God do it that way? And then you began to entertain these thoughts and these doubts. Well, maybe this isn't, maybe there's a mistake here in my Bible. Maybe God really didn't say that. Maybe that some people just got it wrong. And that's one of Satan's chief tools as he introduces hazardous material into the atmosphere of our culture. He sows doubt about the truth of God. But then another thing that he does in this, the other substance of these ideas, there are distortions of the truth of God. Distortions of the truth of God. You see, Satan loves to distort the truth of God's word. He's already done that. We saw in verse 1 where he told Eve, God didn't say that you couldn't eat of those trees. And in verse 3 and 4, again it says, Eve said, God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of a garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, verse 4. So God said it, but Satan found a way to twist and distort God's word. You will surely not die. God didn't mean, that's not what it means. You know, same thing happened to Jesus in the wilderness of temptation. You remember that he was out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights where he was fasting, and Satan came to tempt him. And you remember that he came at him in three powerful ways. And one of the ways was he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, why don't you jump off of the highest point in the temple and just jump off, and you'll be okay, because there's a psalm that says that God will give his angels charge over you. They will protect you, and you will not even dash your foot against a stone. Satan can quote Scripture better than anybody. And he does to Jesus. And said, you know, it says right there in the Bible that God will not let you be harmed. He's going to give his angels charge over you to protect you. Well, Jesus recognized that that was a distortion of the truth, and that Satan was trying to get Jesus to presume upon God. And Satan always does that. These lethal ideas are distortions of the truth of God. But also there's something else about this hazardous material. They are deceptions about the character of God. Deceptions about the character of God. It says in verse 5 that Satan says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. In other words, Satan says, listen, God is just being selfish. He doesn't care about you. He isn't interested in your happiness and in your fulfillment. He just doesn't want you to be like him. You see, if you go and eat that, you'll gain that knowledge just like he has. And God doesn't want you to have that. He's a petty, jealous God. He doesn't care about you. All of those are deceptions about the character of God. And as you study the many lethal, destructive ideas and philosophies and worldviews that are floating around out there in their world, in some way they are doubts about the truth of God. They are distortions of the truth of God, or they are deceptions about the character of God. And hopefully we'll be able to identify all of those. So there's the source of these hazardous ideas. There's the substance of these hazardous ideas. But the next thing I want you to see, the subversion of these ideas. The very subversion of them. There's something incredibly subversive and destructive about these ideas. Look at verses 6 and 7. Notice what happens as a result. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so that they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. What you see happening in those two short verses is the greatest catastrophe in human history. It is the fall of mankind into sin, where Adam and Eve, rather than choosing to trust God that his wisdom and his way is the right way, they violated the truth of God and the way of God. They sinned against him. And the result of that was, believing the lie of Satan, the result of that was that they died spiritually. You see, that's how subversive, that's how destructive these ideas are. Because it is the very soul and the eternal destiny of human beings that is hanging in the balance. And when these ideas and thoughts and philosophies and worldviews are embraced, it results in sin. And sin is what separates us from God. And what happened to Adam and Eve on that day is that they died spiritually. Now, they're still physically alive, obviously. You read how they live on in the Garden of Eden. And yet they died spiritually and were separated from God. Thank the Lord that God raised up one who would crush the head of the serpent. Thank God he sent his son Jesus. Satan came cloaked, came clothed in the body of a snake. And Jesus came, the Son of God, very God, very man, came clothed in a human body. And in that body, completely God and completely man, he went to the cross and took our rebellion and our disobedience and our sin upon himself, so that when we put our trust in him, we're saved. Our sin is forgiven and our relationship with God is restored, and we're given spiritual life once again. But that doesn't eliminate, it doesn't downplay the subversive, destructive nature of these hideous ideas. Now, of course, when we're saved, Satan can still tempt us. He can still lead us astray. He can still entice us with ideas and thoughts and these philosophies and teachings. And yet our eternal destiny is secure. But what is at stake is our devotion to Christ if we believe these ideas. And that's what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians 11:3. When he said to the Corinthian church there, "I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, that your minds, where this hazardous material is interjected, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." You see, it is important what you believe. It is important what you embrace and what you deny. Because you see, these philosophies and these ideas can lead us away from a sincere, pure devotion to Christ and the knowledge of Jesus and the knowledge of truth. And it's my prayer today and in the coming weeks that you and I will be able to recognize hazmat when it comes our way and to be able to stand against it.